Good evening, and welcome to Acting Up. I'm Meredy.
And I'm Russ. You can tell us apart because I have a beard and she doesn't.
They can't actually see your beard.
Wait, the camera's not working?
It's audio only.
What? Do you have any idea how carefully I picked out my clothing for this? Who ever heard of acting where you can't see the actors?
This is a show about voice acting?
Oh. That would explain the auditions we got. I was going to critique them on their technical failures. I couldn't see a thing.
Right. Anyway, on Acting Up, we will be trying to help our contestants polish their skills.
As voice actors, not stage actors.
We have a whole list of challenges planned for you.
Energy and diction, character development, emotion.
Emotional outbursts, multiple takes, taking direction, and more.
But first, we need to pick our contestants. Because we're not planning on cutting anybody, we're going to limit the shows to around a dozen people.
And because this is a learning show, we may rule out people who are already skilled.
While all of us can probably improve, in this show, we're going to focus on those who need more help.
So, speaking of those auditions, we asked people to record a 1.5 minute to 3 minute monologue.
Clothing optional.
Okay, I'm not going anywhere near that one.
Joking aside, our first audition is from Calamon 1991, who will be doing a monologue from The Melancholy of Haruhi Suzumiya.
You know, Kion, have you ever realized how insignificant your existence on this planet really is? It happened to me, and I'll never forget it. Back when I was in the 6th grade, my whole family went out to go watch a baseball game at the stadium. I didn't really care about baseball, but I was surprised at what I saw when we got there. Everywhere I looked, I saw people. On the other side of the stadium, the people looked so small, like little moving grains of rice. It was so crowded, I thought that everyone in Japan had to be there. So I turned to my dad and asked him, "Do you know how many people are here right now?" He said, "Since the stadium's full, probably 50,000. After the game, the street was filled with people, and I was really shocked to see that too. To me, it seemed like there was a ton of people there, but then I realized that it could only be a tiny fraction of all the people in Japan. When I got home, I pulled out my calculator. In social studies, I'd learned that the population of Japan was 100-some-odd million. So I divided that by 50,000. The answer was 1/2,000th. That shocked me even more. I was only one tiny person in that crowded stadium filled with people. And believe me, there were so many people there. But it was just a handful of the entire population. Up till then, I had always thought that I was, I don't know, kind of a special person. It was fun to be with my family. I had fun with my classmates. And the school I was going to, it had just about the most interesting people anywhere. But that night, I realized it wasn't true. All the stuff that we did during class that I thought was so fun and cool was probably happening just like that in classes in other schools all over Japan. There was nothing special about my school at all. When I realized that, it suddenly felt like the whole world around me started to fade into a dull gray void. Brushing my teeth and going to sleep at night, waking up and eating breakfast in the morning, that stuff happened all over the place. They were everyday things that everybody was doing. When I thought about it like that, everything became boring. If there really is that many people in the world, then there had to be someone that wasn't ordinary. There had to be somebody that was living an interesting life. There just had to be. But why wasn't I that person? So that's how I felt till I finished elementary school. And then I had another realization. I realized fun things wouldn't come my way just by waiting for them. I thought when I got to junior high, it was time to make a change. I'd let the whole world know I wasn't a girl who was happy sitting around and waiting, and I've done my best to become that person. But in the end, nothing happened. More time went by, and before I knew it, I was in a high school. I thought something would change.
Okay, first up, Calamon, 1991. Am I saying that right?
I guess so.
Okay.
I didn't get an audio file explaining how to pronounce it. If we're wrong, you can correct us, please.
Yes, please do, please do. The monologue, I thought,
It had, maybe I should read my notes. It was an interesting choice of monologue, but there were a lot of points where I felt that it could have had a lot more emotional moments in it. A lot of it kind of sounded like you were just reading it. And I don't know, maybe it was the surroundings. It sounded like you were trying to keep yourself not as loud, whether it's to not bother somebody else in the house or you just weren't in a good position to record. But it sounded just kind of like you're trying not to go too loud, and so it kind of sounds like this, and you're not getting very much louder. And then when you do that, you really can't do a whole lot of emotional expression. So it's a really relatable piece. So I thought it was a decent choice, and you've got some really nice qualities to your voice. I think both your high and low range are very nice sounding, but I just need to hear more variety in your voice and in your delivery. The last 25 seconds didn't sound like it related as much to the rest of the monologue. Like, you could have cut it short, but what monologue was this? Was this Haru?
This is from The Melancholy of Haruhi Suzumiya.
Yeah, okay. And I remember that just as we were listening to it now, and remembering that made sense, but if someone has not seen the show before, they won't understand why that last 25 seconds was in there. So just a thought. Russ, what's your...
Well, yeah, I agree. You started out very quiet, which is generally not a good thing. You want to use the full volume range available to you. You started out, even discounting the quiet, you started out with a very low energy. Although you did have a good conversational tone, and you started out a bit sing-songy, but you did improve as you got into it. It sounded like you hadn't really gotten into the character when you started. It's always a good thing to get yourself in there before you start reading. But you did that sort of partway through. From a technical standpoint, I would note that you stumbled in your speaking around 151 and 250. One of the nice things about recording is you can actually go back and edit. And if you can take out the stumbles, it just sounds better. Now, if submitting to a radio play, presumably the producer will try to edit those things out. But if it's not possible, it's good for you to have additional takes available.
Mm-hmm.
See, I'm stumbling right now, but this is supposed to be live, so I'm not going to edit these things out.
But you could have.
But I could have. Example. You would never know. Anything else to say?
Yeah, I agree. But it was a good start.
Yes.
Yeah.
Next up, we have Rain Campos, also known as Lex the Archer, doing a monologue from Pray for Rock and Roll.
All my life, all I ever wanted to be was a rock and roll star. I was this dorky seventh grader from the Valley when I had my first cool experience. My boyfriend Johnny Miller had his dad drive us to see Ike and Tina Turner at the Hollywood Bowl. Oh man, she scared the crap out of me. It was the most badass thing I'd ever seen a woman do. Suddenly, the idea of becoming a teacher or a nurse lost its edge. Sorry, Mom. The second after I got my driver's license, I grabbed my fake ID, jumped into my Pinto, and headed straight over the hill for Hollywood. I saw the band X at the Whiskey, and I fell in love with punk rock. I left that show knowing I had to have my own band. So, I got an electric guitar, learned 3 chords, and conned some chicks into playing in a band with me. That was 20 years ago. Today, and God knows how many bands later, not much has changed. Not the gigs, not the clubs, not the money. Tonight, we made $13.50 each. Not even enough to support my eyeliner habit. And what lucky ladies get to share in this glamorous life with me? Let me introduce you to my band. That's Faith. Guitar god by night, guitar teacher by day. Oh man, she loves her guitar. I think she only stopped sleeping with it when she started sleeping with Sally. That's Sally. Let's see, if Shirley Temple and Keith Moon had a love child, she'd definitely be Sally. That beautiful mess is Tracy. Lucky for her, she's a trust fund baby. And a great bass player. Oh, there's Jessica. Must be Friday. I spent over 20 years living, breathing, fucking, sucking, eating, sleeping, dreaming, all things rock and roll. It never occurred to me that I might not make it. So, do I really want to be slugging it out in little clubs still chasing that rock and roll dream when I'm 45 or 50? What about fucking 60? I mean, at what point do I become a joke? In 2 days, I'll be 40. Surprise, surprise, I ain't a rock star. I could quit and become that bitter old bitch who devoted her whole life to rock and roll and never succeeded. Or I could stick with it and become a bitter old bitch who refused to give up. Bitter rock chick in a band, bitter rock chick without a band. Either way, bitter and rock and roll end up together.
And that was Rain Campos. Rain Campos. You started out completely uninterested. All My Life, All I Wanted. And I didn't believe it at all. But right after that, after you got done telling us what was sort of the most important thing, then you started to describe your life, and now all of a sudden you started started sounding believable. You sounded interested. So throughout, you had a very nice full tone. I like the laughing. That was a very nice touch. A good conversational sound. You could use some more energy and some more bitterness through here. You've got a lot of interesting things going on. And then you can see clearly you're not getting what you wanted. And we could be some more you could do with that to sound really upset, unhappy about where you are. What do you think, Meredy?
Well, I agree. The very first line, like you said, it kind of came off as like a throwaway line. It was something that sounded as if it wasn't important to the rest of your monologue. But unfortunately, that's a crucial part of your monologue. And say if you were in a live audition voiceover or, you know, live theater, whatever, a lot of the judgments are going to be placed on that very first line that you give. But I agreed. I think there was a good enthusiasm, moderate enthusiasm throughout, and you had a very conversational, very natural sounding voice. I thought the pacing was good. But coming around again, I didn't fully believe what your character was going through. I didn't feel that stress of someone who has been so involved in music for so many years, and they've devoted almost their entire life to this, and they have gotten nowhere. That feeling of frustration just did not come across. And it's possible that it was just a bad match of monologue. I like the monologue, but I don't know how old you are, but I don't think you're 40. So, I mean, possibly it just wasn't possibly maybe something else would have been more appropriate for you to relate to. I know, like, other concern was enunciation. Sometimes you slurred some words together and it made it difficult to understand. But I think that's more of a dialect thing, that you just how you speak naturally. And if you're paying attention to me, I've got a Buffalo accent, which means slurring everything together. So I really can't fault you for that as long as, you know, we all do it. I just made it, I think, a little more natural that way. So, no, that's all I've got.
Okay.
On the whole, it was good.
Very good. Next up, we have 11 Linda reading an original monologue from a book that she's planning on writing.
Is it not that we all are lost? Not one should be here. We were all taken, made, were we not? Not just me, them. for all the people who, we, I, us, had been taken. We were all made to kill. How does one person control an army of people not wanting to fight? Nevertheless, for what reason? Why be afraid of one when there are many people who could easily take the man? Why do we follow the evil man in which, if we all really tried, we could have taken? We all could fight. Fight back. Kill the man. Do not kill him. Just find help. Not me. No, oddly, I couldn't do anything. Only the princess can. Though, maybe it's too late. Why? Why? A question I want answered. There is no answer, though. Only stupid people follow without knowing it. Suppose I'm stupid. Naive. I was one of them. Maybe I'm not here. Maybe I was just like them. How foolish of me. Do I know it? Did I? Why did I follow? How did he or someone else find me? Add me, take me into a world of violence, or was it truly my choice? Even now, if I wanted to, I could kill him and set them free, all of them. These people, followers, who know nothing. But I guess it seems I am one of the stupid followers. Or at least I was. Watching myself. Watching this princess. I am ashamed.
This is where I take notes.
Go.
Okay. 11 Linda. Well, first, listening to your monologue, I thought it was an interesting choice. I kind of like the subject that you picked because it's a very dramatic internal moment that, while I don't think anybody particularly struggles with on a daily basis, people can find it relatable. However, you did have a lot of dramatic pauses in your monologue that made it difficult to captured the full feeling of it. It broke it up a little bit, and so it just... There are times where I expected you to build up to a moment, and it just stopped because of various pauses. Also, I got the main feeling of emotion, I think, more from what you were saying than how you were saying it. When you started out, you had a lot of vibrato and tenseness was sounded like you might have been crying or you're really upset and frustrated, but it didn't change at all or didn't let up and continued at that same level throughout the entire monologue, and that actually made it more difficult to tell what emotion you were trying to convey. Again, I like this, but I would go back and try to find a more solid example in life, like to pull from. This strongly, when I first heard this, I was thinking of how a soldier, you know, in the army of the Third Reich under Hitler might feel and might struggle, and maybe an image like that might help you a lot in a piece like this. Russ, what do you think?
That's a very interesting idea. I am in general not really a fan of original monologues. It's especially if you're pulling from a larger piece, it's very easy to know in your head the larger context that somehow never gets conveyed by what you're actually saying. This particular one seems to have a pretty much a whiny tone almost throughout. Almost to the point, and I'm not going to say quite to the point where I wanted to slap you and say, okay, come, let's do something a little different, please. You paused a lot. The pacing was uneven. It got to be kind of hard to listen to. I heard a lot of potential in your voice for good emotion. You used some good tone. You really need a lot of variation. This going on for all one thing, one theme, long, is just not great. From a technical standpoint, I'm going to point out some things that I've said to some other people. Lots and lots of puffing. Also, with yours, it sounded a bit hollow. It sounded as though you might have used noise reduction before you on your recording.
Yes, I'm going to interrupt and say that was one thing I definitely wanted to point out, was you need a new recording space or a new recording program because your audio is distorted, and you can tell that noise reduction has been used on this.
Again, usually not a good idea. You figure, try to avoid the noise, the background noise, before you record. If you can't do that, producers will often ask you for some room tone. Generally, do not post-process your files. It's not a good idea. The producer wants to take the responsibility for that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but there were some very definite good potential there.